Welcome to the Underground, the Steel City Underground, the black and gold standard for Pittsburgh Steelers coverage. Now, here are your hosts, Joe Kuzma and Brian E. Roach.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to another edition of the Steel City Underground podcast presented by Under Armour. I'm your host, Joe Kuzma, and as always, almost always, because last episode I was finally joined by Terry Fletcher, who stood in and did her usual WTF deal, and we had a lot of good stuff to talk about. But my main man, my main sidekick here, is back, Brian E. Roach. I called you sidekick today. I didn't mean it. I really didn't mean it. How you doing, Bri?
I'm just dandy. I'm excited and thrilled and looking forward to the draft.
Yeah, there's nothing else going on between now and then. Nothing that we really care about. Hey, actually, we got quite a bit we've been talking about over on the website. I can't wait to discuss some of that here on the show because it could get in a little more detail and whatnot. But there is something going on this Sunday. It's a pretty big deal. Might be maybe one of the most watched things on television. No, it's not the Olympics. The Olympics are coming in another week or so, or maybe two.
Yeah,
there's a Super Bowl, and you know it always sucks talking about the Super Bowl when your team's not in it. But for fan bases of 29 others, other than the Steelers, as you know, we're diehards here. We don't really get to enjoy it, and we have to take sides now. Everybody I've spoken to personally in my circles, with the exception of, well, I didn't really speak to her because we're not on speaking terms because she's a Patriots fan, but everybody else, they just don't, I don't know about what the Patriots, it's like, do you just not like them because they win a lot, or is it like you don't like them because Tom Brady's face is punchable, or, you know, is there something that like just doesn't sit well with you? Or for me personally, it's not only just the winning, particularly this year and, you know, in a few years past, I never thought that they had the strongest of teams and somehow they still get in. For me, it's the luck factor and how things always seem to go their way, even against the Falcons in the Super Bowl last year. So for me, I have to pull for somebody other than the Patriots, almost to the point where I would almost, I don't know, this would be tough. I probably just wouldn't watch the game, but if it were, and it can't possibly be because they're all in the AFC, but the Ravens, if they were playing the Patriots, I might have to even pull for Baltimore at this point.
Anybody but to Patriots. I've been saying that since we were eliminated. My rooting interest is hashtag anybody but New England. I don't care. Look, you and I both have a dual-fold reason to hate Tom Brady, being that, you know, he came from that team up north.
Oh yeah.
But it's more so than that. It's not just the Patriots, okay? If the Patriots would just win and everybody would shut up about it, then it would be fine. But it becomes a year long, an off season long celebration of Belichick and Brady and the Kraft and the way the Patriots do business. They cheat. That's the way they do business. They cheat. It's been proven that they've cheated. And I just hate the Patriots.
Oh, unless you're the most diehard of New England fans, I get into it with some, like I said, close circles who say, oh, no, they don't cheat. Oh, that's just a witch hunt. Oh, that's this, that, or the other thing. Blaming them for this, blaming them for that. Yeah, okay. Okay, it is kind of sickening in ways when I see that Belichick unearthed something deep in the rules, and it's something that maybe wasn't analyzed or thought of, and part of the reason for that isn't just because someone responsible for drafting the rule book and how operations work in the NFL didn't overlook it. They probably thought, well, this isn't something that needs to be covered. I mean, it is possible they didn't think of it either, but it's probably they didn't think of it because it's something that's like, I don't know, immoral or cheating or just like, who would do that? So when We don't need to go through all the lists, but the Spygate, the Deflategate, every little thing like to get an edge. It's like, do you really need that? Because if you, this is the thing I think people that doesn't sit well with the Patriots, and it's like it's the Barry Bonds argument with baseball with the asterisks. It's if you were that good, did you need to deflate footballs? And people, you know, will argue whether or not blah, 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 that, this, that, or the other thing. I think the whole process of allowing the teams to have the footballs in the first place, like, what sports do that? Like, I don't know, in the NBA, do they allow, like, I don't know, the Golden State Warriors to inflate their own basketballs and bring them to the court? Or if you're in, I mean, golf, I would assume they have to inspect the golf ball that you're using, and, you know, or in baseball, a corked bat, you're not bringing like your own baseballs or whatever. So it's like when you have these things where there's the saying, you know, where there's smoke, there's fire, where perception is reality sometimes. And when you have Spygate and you have Deflategate and all these other things, and then this year with the Reviewgate, I think is what it should be called. I'm just hoping this game goes smooth and that I don't watch it and it gives me, you know, an ulcer or something like that over seeing the Eagles get kind of cheap calls and you know, the Patriots get one flag for 2 yards or something ridiculous, and the Eagles get like 9 or 10 for 115, and the Patriots end up winning because of a handful of things that didn't go the Eagles' way. That's what doesn't sit well with me.
I agree. I don't. The idea of perceived favoritism towards the Patriots has become so prevalent, and it's not just within the Steelers fan base. It's pretty much a universal impression, and the only people who don't think that that's the case tends to be Patriots fans, and even some of them admit that they appear to be getting preferential treatment from the refs. You know, you simply cannot, and we've discussed this ad nauseum, you cannot go through that series of, you know, rulings via replay that make up Replay Gate or Riveron Gate or whatever you want to call it, and not look at it and go, yeah, right, whatever your excuse is, it's all baloney. The only reason that that ruling went that way was that it favors the Patriots. So, yeah, you know, it's a team that gets in your craw. It's a team that gets under your skin. Their arrogance and cockiness are, quite frankly, no worse than a lot of other teams. In fact, Jacksonville's definitely much more arrogant and cocky this season than the Patriots tend to be. But we just don't like them. And so, yeah, on Sunday, I will be watching up until the point that I can no longer stomach it.
It'll almost be, I'll get up for the football to go to the bathroom for a break rather than miss the commercials. That's where I'm at.
Absolutely.
The exact opposite of what it should be. I mean, you and I are firmly planted pro Eagles here, as are most of the people on the SCU side. I think some of us still, I think most of us, though, realize either this could be a good game or the Patriots are just going to win this because that's just the way all of this works. And it almost sounds like, you know, the media is like on this side of all this, too. And they want Tom Brady to win a 6th Super Bowl. And, you know, this is where I take issue with, you know, okay, Brady's going to win all these Super Bowls and nobody else has. That obviously puts him into contention, and Belichick as well as, you know, maybe greatest of all time, right?
Yep.
Number one, I don't want them to win a 6th Super Bowl and tie the Steelers. That's uncalled for. That's just blasphemy. It can't happen. So against them for that. But the Patriots have lost. And this is some stuff that really, you know, doesn't sit well with me when people say fire Tomlin. Of course, I'm still kicking that can down the road to discuss that after this game's over, especially, and then we don't have a whole lot of other football topics, and we get into the offseason. But Belichick, I mean, these guys had an undefeated season 1 year, and they go and lose to the Giants and Eli Manning, goofy Eli Manning, in the Super Bowl. And you know what? It's like they're still the greatest of all time, and they lost to the Giants twice in that situation. And there were a number of years where the Patriots didn't get back in the Super Bowl. Now they get into the AFC title game just by default. And like I said, if you take a look at the NFC East where the Eagles come out of, they play the Cowboys, Redskins and Giants have had some down years, but usually those teams are fairly competitive too. You look at last year with the Falcons, and three teams from the NFC South make the playoffs this year, with the Panthers and the Saints being the other two. And then Tampa Bay, you know, they laid an egg this year. I thought they would be way better than what they were. But if you get my drift here, playing the Dolphins and playing Bills and playing the Jets, and you know, it's like they just walk in to this thing all the time. And then if you're the one seed, you're playing the worst team in the playoff bracket. And the Titans do them a favor and beat the Chiefs. And then the Titans get absolutely massacred to the tune of 8 sacks of Marcus Mariota, which, by the way, 0 of those accounted for by Mr. 92 James Harrison. I'm going to throw that out there. And yep. 8 sacks on Marcus Mariota. I think they have 11 sacks in the postseason in 2 games, and Harrison hasn't accounted for not a one of those sacks. So that I'm just planting my flag right there. But you know what? The Patriots, it's not that they're infallible. They even lost to the Dolphins this year. So even saying they cakewalk through their whole division, for the most part, they do. But when I look at this game up and down, I see, you know, it's hard to get in the AFC title game as many times as it did. And in this day of free agency and salary caps and whatnot, dynasties are difficult to have. So I give them some credit for that. But it's also, I got to give some credit to their opponents who never seem to put up a fight and they just walk in. Because the last time one of them put up a fight, the Jets beat the Patriots in the postseason. And it was the AFC title game between the Steelers and the Jets. So you look at both of these teams, they're both 13 and 3 in the regular season, and I'll go down the leaders and the stats here in a second, but they look like they're fairly evenly matched, and I would hope or expect to see at least a competitive game, provided the officiating is top-notch. And I think it's who got the game? I'm trying to remember. Gene Steratore? Was it Gene Steratore? So I have high hopes for that.
Yeah. I think, look, The Eagles' defense is no joke. Their front seven, their group of linebackers and D-line, is some of the fastest, most talented guys in the world. I have told my brother, who, as I've said, is the brother out here in New Jersey, who is an Eagles fan, I said, I ask for one thing. I ask for two things. Win the game, and please force Tom Brady to retire. I'm putting that on Fletcher Cox. Fletcher Cox, if you are listening, which of course you're not, but if you were, please make Tom Brady retire. I would like them. I don't want him to get hurt. I just want him to get hit so many times he says, "I don't want to do this anymore."
You know, some people may be listening in on this and thinking New Jersey, and he's in New Jersey, but he's an Eagles fan. I mean, it's like you're, depending on where you live in Jersey, you're just across the river from Philadelphia. So it's not like, you know, you're that far. How far are you from Philly personally?
18 miles.
Yeah, see, so, I mean, you're in the metropolitan area, so some people may not think, that might not, you know, stick in their brain right away, but it makes sense. It makes sense. It's a very large metropolitan area, just like, you know, New York City or anything else that have a lot of fans. So, the Eagles have a tremendous defensive line, and they have a front that they could rotate. So the one thing is, I think in order for the Patriots to combat that, they might have to do some no huddle type stuff, which means they can't ground and pound and run the clock. I think that's a difference this year in the Patriots than their previous team, because LeGarrette Blount is on the other side of the field now. And that was the guy, he was the bell cow. And I'm sorry, I don't see James White, Deion Lewis doing the same type of thing. They're all different runners, but I don't know how the Patriots are going to be able to just huddle up and just, they won't be able to run clock or chew clock like they have. And the rushing touchdowns was a big part of their success when Blount was there. On the other side, the Eagles, they can rotate out these defensive linemen. Their front seven is very strong, and it's going to be very difficult not only to run block, but also pass block. So we saw what the Falcons did, and this was the thing I said last year. I said the Falcons got this, and that, and they did it to a T, and, you know, one little, like, error and a miracle catch, and everything gets screwed up for them. But I look up and down what these teams have done this year. Like I said, both 13-win teams. The Patriots were second in points scored in the NFL. The Eagles were third And as far as points allowed, the Patriots were fifth and the Eagles were fourth. So you're back and forth as far as the points. The Eagles have far more takeaways. They were fourth this year. They were plus five more than the Patriots at plus six. Where it starts to kind of get a little bit different here, you look at the passing yards and the rushing yards. The Patriots were second and 10th, and the Eagles were 13th and 3rd. So the Eagles are the more prolific running team, while the Patriots are the more prolific passing team. Now, as we've seen with Nick Foles coming on here in the postseason, this guy come out of nowhere. He's Superman. He's got the S on his chest now. That could change in this game, too. And then the final statistic, of course, is defensively, the Patriots, I'm still not sold that they're going to be able to get it done. Marcus Mariota and Mike Malarkey and his crew and whatnot with the Titans, not a great offense, definitely not a great defense whatsoever. We saw what the Steelers did to them, too. And then you got Blake Bortles and the Jaguars, and they put up 20 points or whatever. The Eagles could easily put up 20 to 30. It's just a matter of what they relinquish, because the Patriots, 30th against the pass, 20th against the run. They give up a lot of yards, just not a lot of points, whereas the Eagles are in the same category of not giving up too many points, but they're first against the run, like we said, the front seven, and 17th against the pass.
Yeah, this is a matchup that I think will fall down to can Nick Foles not make mistakes? He doesn't have to be Superman. He has to not give the game away. If he can avoid turnovers, if he can avoid costly errors, if their running backs between Ajayi and Blunt can essentially keep the ball security where it needs to be. Don't give the Patriots extra chances to score. And the Eagles have a realistic shot at winning this game. The Patriots are not an unbeatable force. As we've said before, the Eagles are playing two teams, though. They're playing the Patriots and they're playing the refs. And we will see how this game gets called. It will, I think, create a bonfire of negative reaction if the season-long perception of favoritism rolls into this game, because people will lose their minds.
Goodell talking about changing the catch rule. If there happens to be controversy over that rule in this game, that's a fire they're not going to be able to put out right away.
Yeah, not at
and
all.
They're not going to convince anybody any differently until maybe September or October later in this year, when there's some games played to convince otherwise, no matter what you put down black and white. So pretty obvious. We're both anti-Patriots here, pro-Eagles, hashtag fly, Eagles fly. What are you doing for the big game here, Brian? I'm just going to sit at home, because if I have to kick puppies and punch babies, I could do that in the comfort of my own home without getting arrested. Of course, I'm not doing that. That's a joke. Nobody turn me in, please. And that'll only happen if the Patriots, all these things happen as we're discussing, the apocalypse basically happens. So, how are you, spending your Super Bowl Sunday?
Well, my wife, luckily enough for her, is going to work. And as a result, I'm going to do exactly what you said. I'm going to sit here. I'm going to watch the game, and I will continue to watch it until such time as I can't bear to watch it anymore. If you're never going to be comfortable after last year's debacle by the Falcons, even if the Eagles get way up on them somehow, you're never going to be comfortable in the game. It's one of those games, as long as it's not clearly going one side, being the New England side, I'll probably watch it all the way through. Otherwise, I may go to bed. I mean, I do have to get up at 4 the next morning. So.
I'll be decked out in Steelers stuff. I don't care how many crazy sideways eyeballs that I get. I'll put on my Super Bowl champions cap from the 2008 season, and I will put on my 6-time Super Bowl champions coat. I think I'm going to wear the GOAT, Troy Polamalu. I have a black and I have a white jersey, and the Patriots are wearing white in this thing, and they're like, oh, well, they always win and do this, that, and the other thing. But Bill Belichick has never won when Nick Saban has won a national title. So you have that kind of going in your favor, at least, you know, on our side of things. I'm going to have a bunch of finger foods, drink a little beer. I got a few special craft beers sitting around. But I like to have, like, as many possible little combinations of junk food, cheese sticks or pizza rolls. I don't know exactly yet, but maybe slices of pizza or wings, or I like to nitpick. It has to be like a personal home buffet for me, and that's about my enjoyment, and I'll probably eat during the whole game, and maybe I'll pass out too if it doesn't go the way I think it will, or the way I hope, I should say, not the way I think it will, because many of us still aren't sold that the Eagles and Nick Foles can get this done. But I'll leave you with this. You know, a lot of people didn't think that Russell Wilson and the Seattle Seahawks were going to beat the juggernaut that was Peyton Manning and that Denver Broncos team with however many record touchdowns he threw and all the points that they scored that season. And they just, you know, they got the job done and then some. So that's my story, and I'm sticking to it.
Absolutely.
So, everyone, try your best to enjoy the Super Bowl. You know, we don't have a whole much else, a lot to say about it. I mean, we could dig X's and O's. We've seen enough of both of these teams, and plenty of other people have beaten this dead horse to death. Let's just hope a lot of Philly fans don't do the same to their horses in their city if they have a Super Bowl victory. Noah Freeman is working on something again about how Steelers fans should treat this game and who they should pull for, and he brought up the thing about the police horses, and we were talking, and I'm just like, who decides that it's a good idea not only just to punch a horse, but yes, it was a police horse. Let's go. Yes. Punch a police horse. Number one, you got to hurt your hand doing that. Number two, punching a horse probably isn't a good idea because, you know, as he's saying, you know, these, the term thoroughbred, very big animals that could crush you. Number three,
yep.
It's a police animal. It's literally like punching an officer. So people, just get your act together, please, Philadelphia. Stay classy. So I'm Joe. He's Brian. Till next time, be safe, be good. We'll catch you later.
We would like to thank you for listening and remind our listeners to follow us on social media and our website, www.steelcityunderground.com.